for time purposes, we're going to do things a little different today. If I get into what I would normally get into, I'm going to have to cut it off right in the middle of something. I know how upset y'all get when I do that. So I'm going to do something a little different. We're just going to have a little back and forth. I hope to get a little input from you guys. And it's basically surrounding why Christianity makes sense. So this is a doctrinal sermon. Don't get upset when I say doctrinal, because doctrinal, you usually think something dry and whatever. I love doctrine. I think doctrine is very important and can be very exciting. To give you an example of what I mean, why Christianity makes sense from a doctrinal standpoint, there are four questions that everybody wants answered. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, if you're a Muslim, if you're an atheist, if you're a child, if you're an old person, or whatever. There's four important questions in life that everybody, once you think about them, right now they may not be popping into your head yet, but when we go over these questions, you'll say, yeah, that's a real important question. Everybody wants these questions answered. And from a doctrinal standpoint, I believe Christianity gives the best answer to all four questions, a coherent answer that makes sense, not only individually for the four questions, but when you put the four questions together, they said, yeah. Some religions can answer some of the questions. Some of them can't, but I don't know of any other philosophical approach to life, religion, whatever, that gives you these answers. So, with the little time we have, we're just going to go over these four questions, and I want to start out by asking you if you know what one of these four questions might be. Think about, forget for the moment that you're Christian. What are the important things in life that you think an average person might want an answer to? Gladys, you look like you're starting to say something already. Okay, repeat it. Okay, we'll turn it into one word, destiny. What's our destiny? That is one of the four questions. What else? Bud, did you going to say something? Why am I here? Meaning. Okay, I'm going to condense these down to one word. So we have destiny, we have meaning, Vern. That is an important question. Let's see. What would that come under? That probably would come under the one of the four meanings of morality. What do we base our morality on? Which talks about the differences of the religions in the world. So we'll call that morality. That is one of the four. So we have destiny, meaning, morality. There's one other one. This is question that's asked all the time. Okay, Debbie? What's that? Why do bad things happen? That is a good question. That might come under the meaning of life, the kind of things that happen in life. So I think that's going to be covered under meaning. There's another one, though. What's that? Am I loved? You guys are bringing up some good stuff. I'm trying to pigeonhole them into my four categories. Am I loved? Destiny, meaning of life. That would come under meaning of life. One big one left, though. How about this one? Where do we come from? I mean, isn't that a question that people are asking all the time? The evolutionists, they say we come from particles that by chance came together in a slimy pit and turned into a tadpole, which turned into a lizard, which turned into a reptile, which turned into a gorilla, which turned into us. Right, Vern? What do you got back there? Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay, what time is purple?
and other intriguing questions on the road trip to truth. Thank you. What time is purple?
Okay. Thank you. But it is a question. Doesn't that question need to be asked? I mean, isn't it a hugely important question? Where do we come from? How do we get started? Who was the first person? And all those things. Those are important things. So those are our four questions. Origin. Meaning. What is the meaning of life? Morality. Why do we do, or why should we do the things that we do? That's a very important question. And destiny. Where are we going to go when we die? Now, of those four questions, there are only three religions in the world that I know of that offers some degree of coherent answers to those questions. And those are what we call monotheistic religions, meaning one God. We believe in one God, as opposed to millions of gods that are out there. The three monotheistic religions are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. All three of those religions believe in the fact that there is a creator God, and he created us. Only these three religions give us any kind of a coherent answer to these four questions. The rest of them, as we'll see, and as we go through it, don't provide an answer. So let's look at the four questions real quick. And hopefully I can get through this now that I'm starting. It looks like it might take a little longer. Origin. What does the Bible say about our origin? The Bible says that we are created in God's image. Now, that's not just a phrase. That's hugely important. Because if we are created in God's image, then we have value because we are created in the image of God. Now, animals are not created in the image of God, so we don't value the animals the same way that we value other human beings, because created in the image of God. Early Christians, back during the first century and so, that time when the Romans were persecuting the Christians, when people would be killed, bodies would be left out to rot. Nobody bothered to bury them. It wasn't... They weren't considered a value. But the early Christians took the bodies of the people, even if they weren't Christians, and they buried them in the catacombs in Rome. And they did this for one reason. They said, this person has the seal of God. This person was created in the image of God. And therefore, this body, this even though it's a dead body, it has value because it was created in the image of God. And you can go through, I haven't been there, I'd like to go there someday, but you can go through the catacombs of Rome and see all of the people buried, now mummified in the catacombs, because the Christians said when somebody's created in the image of God, they have value and we should treat them with dignity and death. This is something, this question of origin, you see why it's important, because if you don't believe that we have the origin of being created in God's image, what does that lead to? It leads to a devaluation of human beings. It leads to a Holocaust. When the Germans in the 40s were starting the Holocaust, you know how they started it? They couldn't have just done this right off the bat. The first thing they had to convince the German citizens of is that the Jews had no moral value. They were not created in the image of God. They weren't created at all. And it took a while for Hitler and the people he used in his psychiatric endeavors to break down the people's opinion of the Jews. It took a while. But he convinced them that at some point that they weren't really human. And after he had convinced the people over a period of time that they weren't really human, then it was easy to take their stuff, to take their homes, to ship them off to concentration camps, to literally work them to death. It was an easy thing to do because they didn't think of them as people. They didn't think of them as value. We we have the same problem today in our country of another group of people who are told have no value, and that's unborn babies. It's the same thing. We don't believe that, or not say we, but a lot of people in America don't believe that unborn babies are created in the image of God. And therefore, they can be disposed of in any way that's convenient to the mother. I heard one of the Democratic candidates a week or so talking about abortion, and he basically said, trying to use biblical authority to show that people weren't really identified as people until they were born, and up to the day that the before they were born, they weren't considered people. He was trying to use the Bible to do that. I wished he had read our responsive reading this morning from Psalm 139, because I would have loved to ask the guy this question. If you claim to be a Christian, which he does claim to be a Christian, if you really are concerned about living a life that's biblical and you believe in the authority of the Bible, what do you say to the 139th Psalm, which says, I praise you because you have made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you've done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body or my mother's womb. When I was put together, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. What would he say about that if he claims to be a Christian? Now, if you don't claim to be a Christian, then this doesn't mean anything to you. But he claims to be a Christian. Origin. It's very important. It also talks, when you speak of origin, you speak of the origin of sin, too, and how we as Christians look at our depravity compared to the other religions. And this is another important thing that Christianity makes good, coherent sense. Well, what do we say about the origin of sin? We say, because of what the Bible says, that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. As a result of that sin, it basically came into the gene code of every human being from that point on. In other words, we're all born into sin. That's what we say as Christians. We are born into sin, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's not a worldwide view. A lot of other worldviews say, no, we're not. People aren't basically bad or sinful. They're basically good. It's their environment that messes them up. It's things that happen to them that mess them up. If we lived in a perfect environment, there wouldn't be sin. There wouldn't be problems if we could do that. Now, that's silly. That's not coherent. Anybody that's raised children knows that they are bent towards doing the wrong thing. You don't have to teach a child to lie, do you? They'll do it easily on their own. You have to teach them not to lie. You have to teach them to share their toys. You don't have to teach a child to keep all their toys close to them. At a very early age, it's obvious that we have a sinful nature, and it needs to be dealt with. One of the philosophers, his name is Malcolm Muggeridge. Some of you may have heard his name. He had an interesting statement on this. He said this. He said, human depravity is at once the most empirically verifiable reality, but also the most philosophically resistant of anything else. I know that's kind of deep. What's he saying? He's saying the sinful nature that we have has two interesting things about it. Number one, people resist it. They say, we don't have a sinful nature. That's the second part. It's the most philosophically resistant, but it's also the most empirically verifiable. How is it empirically verified? Just like I said, you can look at a child and see that the child wants to be sinful. You can look at people in general and see that their nature is to be sinful. It's empirically verifiable. We can look within ourselves and know the things we think about, the things we do, the things we want to do. We're constantly checking ourselves. We don't need, we shouldn't do this, but we want to do it, but we shouldn't do it. It's empirically verifiable. So that's what he says, that it's, even though it's resisted, innately we all know it. It's a coherent thought. We all know that. So if you don't think that people are basically bad, all you have to do is put your credit card number online and see what happens. See how many good people are out there and how many bad people are out there. Philosophers try to say that people are good, environments make them bad, but that we know is not true. It's not coherent. It doesn't make sense. So the first question, origin. You see why it's important in Christianity that we believe that we are created beings. We weren't evolved beings, but we were created beings. And it makes a difference on how you approach life. If you realize that you are created in the image of God and you are not just by chance a bunch of molecules that came together by chance, you have an entirely different approach on your life and on the life of others. Now, that's number one of four. I'm already out of time. So I guess I'll continue this next week. But these are important things for us as Christians to understand, to be aware, and in our minds to have a grasp of it, because it helps you understand. This is, to me, why doctrine is so important. You can't just float around thinking everybody's nice and everybody's good and everybody will get along. There has to be a foundation. There has to be a basis for what we believe. And our basis is based upon the same four questions that everybody else is: origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. So we need to have answers for those. We need to understand why we believe what we believe so that we can communicate with other people who are asking those same four questions in their life. And they want answers. We need to be able to give them these answers. So next week, we'll look at meaning, the meaning of life, why, from a Christian perspective, it's different than the rest of the world. Morality, why, from a Christian perspective, we base our morality on things that the rest of the world doesn't. And most, well, maybe not most importantly, but very importantly, our destiny. That's a question that people want answers to. We need to be ready to give them answers to it. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we praise you for what you've done in the prison yesterday. We didn't all get to see it, but I've been there. I know what happens. I know how lives can be changed, how they can be altered, how one day with a dad can literally save a child's life. And one day with a child can turn a dad's life around too. It can give him meaning in life. It can give him a reason to want to straighten his life out, to get out of prison and to be productive. Just that one day with that child. So we thank you that we were able to be a part of that and to be a part of life changing, that someday we may hear stories of things that resulted from the volunteers who went yesterday and those who donated for that yesterday. So we look forward to hearing that. Lord, we thank you for the coherence of our Christian principles and life, and that it does make sense. It's not something we just have to believe in by faith. It's also something we can believe in logically. It does make sense. The way you have laid out through the scriptures the answers to the question for our origin and our meaning and our morality and our destiny are coherent, and they give us comfort, and they give us a foundation and a reason to live and to live for you. So we thank you for that as we delve into this even more next week. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together as a church here at Walnut Grove. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.